Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello, and welcome back to this episode of Hypnotic Healers. My name is Nicole Mazzucato, and as always, I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Anthony Gitch. I am super, super, super excited about the guest that we have on today. It's been a bit of a bumpy road getting here, but we finally got here. So it's very exciting for all of us. Just before we do kick off, our usual disclaimer, neither Anthony nor I nor our guest today are doctors, psychologists or psychiatrists. So please do not make any changes to any of your medication or treatments that you're currently on based on what you hear here today. Take what you like and leave the rest. And while you're leaving stuff, you might as well leave us a really nice like, thumbs up, a little heart, share us with your friends and tell us how brilliant the podcast is. Hello, Anthony. Welcome back.
Hello, Nicole. And you know what? I'm going to relinquish the reins immediately back to Nicole because she was so excited about this guest that I'm going to let her do the introduction today.
So like I said, we're really excited to be have on the show a guy who's based in Belgium and has really done a lot for the hypnosis industry. He is the founder and creator of a wonderful online summit, which actually brought Anthony and I to train with Tim.
Yep.
So everybody, please put your hands together for Glenn Jones.
Yay! Yes, you are Hello. In fact one of the, you would be the, one of the matches behind what you are experiencing right now, because if it hadn't have been for Hypno Summit, then I wouldn't have gone to training, Nicole wouldn't have gone to training, we wouldn't have met. So you are really one of the founders of this relationship. So thank you, sir.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. And that's only one of the ripple effects.
That's right. That's right.
Thousands more.
Yeah. So we're really excited to have you. So Glenn, how are you doing? How's everything going?
Well, first of all, many thanks for asking me to be on the show, because it's always exciting to talk to people in the industry. And I'm fine, to be honest. Yeah, I'm fine here in Belgium. And looking forward for a great talk today.
Yeah. So let's just dive straight in. Tell us about, you know, Hypno Summit. What drove you to build it? And you've done 2 years now, right? This year just gone was your second event.
Yeah. It's actually Corona.
Okay.
Yeah. So my background in mental health is started 10 years ago when I started as an NLP practitioner, coach, mm-hmm. But I also have a marketing business, and 2 years ago, yeah, when Corona started, I was not really involved anymore in my marketing business. And I was really anxious to build out my practice, my private practice. But then Corona hit, and I thought, like, okay, what can I do? Because it's not really the time now to grow with it. And I like to do in-person things. I'm not really the online, I like online, but for that particular part, I love to do personal things. So I thought, like, okay, let's learn from the best in the world and organize a summit that makes it possible to reach out to them, basically what you are doing. Mm-hmm. And then if I can gather all that information and share it with a lot of people, that would be amazing. And so I started to do that. And we had, for the first edition, 15,000 people. And I thought, whoa,
wow.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That is
amazing. Congratulations. That's
so
incredible.
That's the very first one of those you had put together.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Of course, I have a big marketing background.
Okay, that's still that's a lot of freaking work, because I've been trying to put together a local, just conference here in just the Pacific Northwest. With another buddy who's a hypnotist, and it's just like the amount of work and the amount of logistics, and it's just like. Well, Anthony, that successful, that right off the bat, dude, that's amazing. Congratulations.
it's actually amazing if you think about it, because on our first edition, we became the biggest conference in the world on hypnosis.
Wow.
There is not one conference in the world that has that many people. And It was like, wow, we can do more with this. And that's why we launched the organization Back to Our Nature.
Mm-hmm.
And Back to Our Nature will organize like 5 to 10 conferences a year. And we will do that together with partners, people who say like, hey, I'm very interested in this topic and I want to reach out to the best in the world and share this great information with people. And basically our platform, we will do the marketing and we will do the support and create everything. And we have an amazing platform that is able to do that. So this is actually our goal now for next year, to have between 5 and 10 summits, conferences a year.
All around hypnosis or different modalities, different areas?
It's all about mental health.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, mental health. Yeah.
So basically you are almost like a publishing house for conferences, for mental health conferences, sort of.
Thing. Yeah. Free conferences. So the goal is to share knowledge in the most accessible way. That is basically what we want to do with these conferences.
That's amazing. Right on.
Yeah.
Wow. Celebrity in my eyes.
I have to say, I was a little bit blown away, because in our second edition, we had 20,000 people. And I thought, okay, if we can reach that many people, maybe people who are interested in hypnosis are also interested in, hey, how can I help people with trauma or with depression or with tinnitus? And so we will organize these kind of conferences on these topics. And that's I think we can make an impact.
It sounds almost like you're creating almost like a TED Talk sort of platform for mental health issues specifically, and the professionals that work with those things and want to learn more about those things. That sounds actually kind of really cool.
Yeah,
well, I could be wrong, but that's kind of the way that's kind of what I'm seeing. What's happening in my mind as you're explaining things.
Yeah. You could look at this that way. And the cool thing is, this is only the first step, because I'm not an organizer of conferences. This is not my mission in my life.
I think goal. It is now. Yeah.
Well, I just happened to do that.
Right.
But actually, my main goal, and this is what a lot of people would say, like, okay, this is like Elon Musk wants to go to Mars. This is like this kind of utopic dreams. But my real mission is to reshape mental health care of tomorrow and to make it better. And I think we need different things for that. We need knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So to make knowledge in the most accessible way available, that's one thing. The second thing we need is making sure that people who are interested in helping people with therapy, that they have a really good program to guide them through that process. And so and also for people who want to grow their practice. So that's a second part that we are creating right now. But what I really, and this is, there's also the academy. So we will qualify trainings of other people in the world, and we will select the best that we can find. So people can actually find really good trainings in the academy. So that's the knowledge part. But what's also missing is people need to find ways to build their experience. And it's for people who want to start, it's not easy to say like, oh, let's start with some friends. I mean, how did you start with your practice?
Well, I can tell you in my experience, how did I start with my practice?
Through your first clients.
I guess it was through referrals mostly, and, you know, some friends and family as well, but definitely through referrals, and then very painfully online.
And for me, it was like literally the when I got my registration, my ability to practice, I just had ads out and I started working with the public.
But this is, of course, how you get clients in. But there's on the other side, you need to build confidence in what you do.
Yeah, and I had none. It was my first couple of clients were disastrous. I mean, they got what they wanted, but talk about fumbling through. Which is why, you know, like you said, it's important to be able to have that experience. And that's why, like the training that Nicole and I, when we met and we went through and that I provide, it's, you know, you got to provide case studies. We want to make sure, can you apply this? Do you understand what it is that you're doing and what the end results here are supposed to be for these people? Not can you apply a system, because anybody can do that, but do you have a concept? Do you have an understanding of what it is that we're doing and what the driving force is behind what it is that you're doing? You know, that's where we want to make sure that you've got that piece, because anybody can do a process. Anybody can read through a manual and do a freaking process. We want to make sure can you apply it?
Yeah. And I have to say, Anthony, what I see is that I enrolled in so many trainings, but I had a training of a weekend on, hey, how can you help people with trauma? After that training, we were supposed to help people with trauma in 1 hour. With all the knowledge I have, I feel there's a little ethical issue with that. Because, for example, if someone has suicidal thoughts and they tried everything and then they go to the hypnotherapist and that person, well, it doesn't work for any reason, or it's not what that person expected, then it can be something like, hey, I tried everything now, so this is it. So these are these cases where I think that if you look at university, people who go to university, and I'm not one of them, but they have 1 year of internship where they help people in their practice, but there's someone sitting next to them, and I'm talking about Belgium, not sure what happens in the rest of the world, but that is how you get trained. And so I think that there's a missing part. It's okay if you say like, hey, I had a 1 week training, let's experiment with small things like, hey, stop smoking and these. But even then, if it doesn't work for that person, maybe that person said like, hey, I tried everything now, so I give up because of a bad, let's say, experience with hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
And the consequences may be 10 years less of his life. I mean, this is what sometimes it's like, oh, it's just stop quitting smoking, but maybe that was the last thing he wanted to try, that client.
So you're talking about creating like a triage, you know, like a triage system where you've got the client, observer, and therapist, like practice system. Yeah.
What we want to create in the next step is the ability for mentorships. Mm-hmm. So where you can help people from the community that know, like, hey, this is someone who is training, who is practicing. But that's okay for me. I'm a mental health professional myself, but I need help sometimes as well, because we're also human, right? And so if someone else can help you, and it's more observed through a mentor, and people get feedback on what they do, that is so valuable. Like, hey, you said that word, or you used that phrase with that intonation, or you looked that way, or you didn't calibrate with your client. These are such a nuances.
Yes, and you're right.
And I'm talking too much here.
We both agree, because it's just like the trainings that we do. You know, when the students will watch Nicole or I or Tim start to apply what we do, they are sometimes just like, oh my God, how do you do that so seamlessly and so easy and make it look so? But it's because we know what's going on behind the scenes, and we've done all of the work, and so it's easy to fall where you say to just, you know, we want to turn around then and show them that this is the real life experience. And that's why we have them working with people in class. Yeah. Because need to know what's happening in the moment so you can become as good as, because we're not doing anything special.
No, but even off the back of that, you know, I don't know about you two, sometimes you come away from a session with experience and thinking, yeah, could I have done that any better? Do you know what I mean? Could I
Sure. We always should be questioning ourselves that way. You know, how could I, you know, especially if we've run into a bump, how did I create that bump in the road? Right? Yeah. Because it's not what they've done. It's how did we create the bump in the road? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's forgotten a lot. And so, that mentorship is freaking important, because it gives you the ability to go, okay, I can see what you mean, and those nuances, because it's the finessing, right? I call it finessing, getting that last little piece of information out of them that they didn't even know that they had to give you, but could make all the difference in the world, right?
But this is actually, and the next thing, if you like the mentorship, I think the next thing will be something you really like, because one of the challenges we have, and you definitely know that, when you were a student in hypnotherapy, then one of my questions was always, hey, what are your results? And then you get those amazing answers like, well, we have like a 70% success rate. And I always ask, I'm like, how do you know? This is like the key, but we send our clients after 3 weeks an automated email, and some respond on that, and based on that we know what happened. And I think, like, no, this is not how you measure results. But the problem here is that all those students think like, okay, so 70% of my clients should be helped. Sometimes these results is about in one session, others say like, hey, in 5 sessions and 10 sessions, whatever. But it's very hard to measure that success rate. Mm-hmm. And it's the key thing as a hypnotherapist, or actually any mental health professional, is confidence. And how do you build confidence if you measure your success to a baseline, to a reference field, which is not measured? And so what we need is a system where we can follow up on our clients. And for example, on our platform, you will be able to say like, hey, to your client, like, hey, this is the app. On certain moments, you will get a notification where you just say like, hey, the question is, of course, very important because you don't want to give any suggestions here, but just... So the question should be something like, hey, how was your fear of spiders in the last week? Of course, this is not the right sentence because that...
But I get your general concept, right.
But you understand the concept, yeah.
Yeah, so like on a scale of 0 to 10, how are you doing?
Yes. And so what we want to know is how are these symptoms evolving? Mm. And if you can do that for the entire group of students, and even for the teacher, you can actually see like, hey, where I'm at in the group, and who are the best students? So who are the ones who are the best and where I can learn from? And even teachers can say like, hey, I see you need more help. Come again, come back. Because 80% of the people who enroll in a training course don't start their practice for many reasons. And so if you can get the follow-up where they can build confidence, I think that is a brilliant thing where we also can say like, hey, this training actually has a great result.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I think that some of it comes down to the responsibility of the people who are interviewing these people to come into their programs, you know, rather than having just anybody and everybody sign up for your class and, hey, here's your certificate for showing up. How about interviewing these people, making sure that they are able to create a level of rapport, even with you, that you know that you're going to be able, they're going to be able to do the same thing with a client, because it's the level of rapport that someone creates that's going to help to really drive everything that is happening from then on. And so why not take some responsibility at the end, at that first part of the training, and go, are you a good fit for what we want to represent as an organization and as a training team, right? And I mean, I think that that is an integral part of really being able to take responsibility for what you're offering the world. You know, are we bringing on people who are really interested in your well-being and really your success? And are they willing to follow through, like you say, and really justify and calibrate to see where you are, right? And own those sorts of successes. So I think that that's an important piece as well.
Yeah, I think the screening process, you know, when from a school or a training provider's perspective, you know, to actually screen people before, rather than just, oh, that's ka-ching, that's more money in the bank.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to sign up whoever. The screening process, and it's funny, Glenn, we always ask our guests on here to share an experience, a learning curve that they've had in their practice, something that other people can learn from. The most common response we've had so far is taking on the wrong client.
Yeah, all of them taking on the wrong client because they're worried of not having enough.
Or you know, for lack of screening, whatever it was. Yeah. So if you start that screening process from, you know, the training provider perspective, screen students properly, you know, and then set them up properly to then also be able to screen clients and not take them on just because they're desperate or whatever. Right. Okay, it's a valuable learning experience, but that screening process is really important as well.
Don't sell everybody that you're going to be making six figures a year because you've become a hypnotherapist. You know, it's not realistic, and I think it's inappropriate. Those are car salesmen, right? I mean, you can make $10,000 a day to help people stop picking their nose. Call this number. You know, and it's just ridiculous what they do these days. And people are like, okay. I'm like, fuck, but they won't spend what you want. Okay, anyway, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. But and also, it's also about expectation management.
Yes. Yeah.
Because a lot of hypnotherapists in their trainings, they set an expectation, and all those students, they set that same expectation, not all of them, but many of them, to their clients. And that's what I want to measure. I want to measure like, hey, what happens in reality in the field, and not only on hypnotherapy, but basically on any technique or any method that is used out there in the field, not in a lab, but in the field of thousands and thousands of therapy sessions. And so, and then you even can compare like, this is the profile of a therapy, a therapist, sorry. This is the profile of a client, and this is a profile or of an issue, and this is the profile of a certain method that has been used. And then you can even say like, hey, what method?
You're a data dude.
You're a data dude.
I am.
That's awesome.
That's how we can make mental health care better if we have data.
Right now,
no one knows what to expect.
Well, but you know, here's the interesting thing when you think about that. And I was glad that you, because you even brought in the piece of data that I thought that you were leaving out. And that is, you know, what is the buildup? What is the makeup of the therapist in comparison to the particular client they're working with? And what is the interaction between them? Because that's going to create that interaction between client and therapist, or client and hypno person, whatever you want to call it, client and helper, right? Client and counselor, that relationship between them, that is going to make all of the difference in the world, right?
I mean,
I've heard it said a million times by a million different people, is you can have the worst technique in the world, but the best rapport, and you're going to create change. You can have the best technique and the worst rapport, and you're not going to have any change.
Correct.
You know,
because if you look at Tony Robbins, he can help people in very little time. But I'm not sure if you're a fan of Tony Robbins or not, but anyhow, and I'm not sure of all his results, because it's always videos.
Sure.
But anyway, you see, he can make change within people in a very short amount of time. But if he would teach others to do that, that would be an entirely different ball game, because he has, if you're in front of Tony Robbins, you had 2 years, energy. 3 years of marketing with suggestions, and you are in front of this guy, and you're already in hypnosis.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's being able to provide inspiration, right? It's being able to deliver that to somebody in a way that I'm not going to say is subversive, but in a way that they don't necessarily, they're not always aware that they're getting, right? It's that feeling of kind of being pumped up and empowered, but not always recognizing where it's coming from. Right. And it's coming just from the energetic exchange that is happening between two people as that dynamic is, you know, growing and changing and evolving. And I think that subtle piece is you can't teach that. You can't teach that. That's something that you either have or you don't have.
Well, we've talked about this many times, isn't it? It's very much going back to Tony Robbins. He's got a lifetime of experience, and he's he's done all sorts of trainings. He's done a lot of investigation and all sorts. And at the end of the day, it's each individual person's experience and personality that comes into the dynamic between them as practitioner and the client sitting in front of them, right? A training is a training, it's a technique, but you know, you could have two practitioners sitting in front of you doing the same technique, and you'll get on with one and not the other.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why I believe that if we have all that data, we can do extraordinary things. These are features we want to offer for free to all our mental health practitioners. It's not there yet, but this is how we want to evolve.
Wow, amazing. You know, how do you have time for anything with this project? And you said before that you're in your third year or fourth year of doing a psychotherapy training. How do you have time for anything else?
Well, I have to say, I had a burnout. in the past. And that's when you learn how to balance things. So I think that's my biggest gift to learn how to deal with this. Yeah, because I have a beautiful son of 3 years and a loving wife, Nele. And these, I truly believe that they are the foundation of everything else. If that would be unstable, if I would not invest in that, that would hit a lot of that would push a lot of things over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I gotta say, it's impressive for me, because we need people like you that are interested in that data, because, you know, I kind of liken it to a pinball machine. You know, there's those static pieces that allow the ball to kind of be the bumper and bounce off and just kind of go wherever and do what it needs to do, right? I don't know how well you guys know pinball machines, but those bumpers in there, right? But, you know, to me, I feel like I'm a ball on the table, and we need people that provide the bumpers. Right? Because if I don't have the knowledge or the information that you guys gather and put together as my kind of backup for what it is I'm doing, then what I'm doing doesn't hold as much legitimacy, right? Regardless of the kind of results we get, people want the scientific, they want the research. And so, you know, that data is important in order to, like you say, deliver a higher standard of care. And what an amazing thing it would be to be able to go and put stuff into an information or you know, enter someone's information into something and say, we already know that this client is going to fit best with this practitioner based upon this, you know, algorithm that, you know, this is going to be their highest success rate is this guy over here, or this group of people that you can choose from. These are the group of people that you're going to best fit with. Yeah. You know, that's a pretty damn, that's a big project.
Yeah. You know what my dream is, my personal dream, because this is more professional. My personal dream is also a bit professional, but anyway, I have this idea and this question, like, it's possible, for example, to help someone with a phobia of spiders in 1 hour. So then I thought, like, is it possible in 20 minutes? And I succeeded in that. Then I thought, like, is it possible to help two people in 20 minutes? And I succeeded in that as well. So I was wondering, if we can do two people, could we find a way to do five people, 10 people, 100 people? And there are people out there, hypnotherapists, who do that. Mm. But I am thinking, like, how amazing would it be if you could help like 1,000 or 10,000 people at the same time in a huge conference hall within 2 hours? Mm. And then I was thinking, like, if that is possible, and if you have a transparent success rate, you need to get the right people in the audience.
Well, yeah, don't they call those people, like, don't they flock to those people and call them gurus?
Well, no, we had Freddie Jacquin on here, and he was telling us about how he became so successful as a smoking cessation specialist, and the same thinking, well, I can help one, I can help two, I can help 10, I can help 200. And then, you know, he was doing these big rooms of people, and he said to us, you know, at the end of it, we'd like, after a period of time, he gave like a 30-day money back guarantee, and he'd always end up refunding a certain percentage of money. But he was like, I'm okay with that, you know, because it's worked for the rest of them. And
right,
you
know, right, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah.
But the question is in it worked for the rest of them?
Hmm.
Because is asking money back the right measurement for success? So, but probably Freddie has so much experience, so he knows what he does. But the thing I was thinking is, like, if I want to make this work, For example, if you only allow people in the room who are highly suggested, open for suggestibility,
so you're screening.
That would
screening them.
Screening
the screening. Yeah. So if you could screen people and measure, like, hey, what are the factors? Parameters, is that an English word?
Parameters,
yeah, there we go. What are the those parameters to find the right and screen right people? And so these are, that's why I always think in terms of data and measure things. And wouldn't it be cool if you could have like a TripAdvisor button on your on your website, but is, which is real, which is based on data from your clients.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be easy. Well, I don't know. It would take some of, I think it would take some of the interest, or not the interest, but some of the intrigue out of it. I don't know.
I think it's a credibility thing, isn't it? It's a bit like social proof, right? We're all, you know, we're all looking for testimonials as social proof of what we do.
Right.
I mean, yeah, and even now it's got to the point where, I don't know if it ever happens to you two, you look at a testimony, you're like, is that really real? Did you just get a mate to write it? Do you know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
Has also kind of started to lose credibility, unless it's mouth to mouth. I think mouth to mouth is still the kind of the most reliable source of credibility. But something like Glenn's talking about kind of boosts the credibility, right? If you're like, okay, based on all of this, you know, this data and stuff, this hypnotherapist has had this kind of success.
Well, there's just a lot of I'm going to say an ugly word, and that's not, but there are just a lot of
say the word
therapists or just people who tempt to, who are saying they are mental health practitioners and really don't have the skills for it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem for hypnotherapy. Like in the UK, it's very popular, but in Belgium, there's more like, is that a good way to go? And so bad experiences are the worst publicity for hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
So, and this is not only for hypnotherapy, it's basically for any other thing. And we don't have the credibility like, hey, I have a diploma from the university of, and so I think it would be good if there would be somehow a system to measure, how good someone actually is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
exciting, Glenn, really exciting, all the stuff that you've got in your mind. How many people have you got in your team then?
10 people.
Wow.
But we are expanding. Yeah, we are still expanding because there's a lot of stuff on the plate.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. And how on a personal level then, because, you know, I remember from the first Hypno Summit, your intro was like, you know, I'm on a mission to be the best therapist I can be. And that's why I've done this and, you know, talked to all these people. So, you know, from your own personal experience and doing all of these interviews and running this massive show, how has it been for you?
Well, that's a really good question, because personally, I'm too caught into technology at this moment. And that is not my thing that gives me energy. I like to be creative. I like to be an entrepreneur, to be strategic, but like, oh, the button needs to be a little bit to the left and this testing and how should this screen look like? I'm very much involved in that process. And to be honest, it would be great if I could step back on that part. And because I'm a people man, I love to work with people and to do things together. If I look to you and Anthony, you're a team and you do things together with people.
Mm.
And I have to say, the last 2 years, I was really on the background of all of that and very much involved in technology. So this is my biggest goal for this year, that is, after the summer, I really would like to step back from that and be more involved again with people.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. I mean, you must have sat and you know, done some of these interviews with some amazing people. And I know from my own experience with this podcast, we've interviewed incredible people, and it's you know, I think both and Anthony, I don't want to speak for both of us, but we probably have learned a lot from the people we interviewed. It's been great hearing different people's wisdom and insights and failures, and, you know, not failures as such, but learning curves and things. And just to get, you know, to get that moment in time with some of these wonderful people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've taken things from these people. Nicole and I, just before you came and joined us, we were talking about a process that I'm going to be using with a client here this week that we learned right here on the show from a guest. And I wanted to make sure, you know, let's go over this again, because this is what we did at the show. And I want to make sure I understood, you know, just to make sure that I am going to, you know, and so, yeah, I've gotten some wonderful, wonderful tips and tricks, and have met some amazing people. That's the biggest thing, is meeting these people that inspire me, right? And it doesn't matter if they've been doing it longer than me or not as long as me. I think that there's something I've been able to find about each one of them that has been extremely inspirational, and that little piece of gold.
Yeah. Well, do you have sometimes the feeling that if you learn from all these different techniques and all these different concepts, that it's sometimes hard to choose what you want to use on new client, because you want to try this, you want to do that. And sometimes I really had to make a shift in my head, like, okay, let's turn back to intuition and see what happens.
Because I was just going to say, I learn these techniques or I hear about these things, and it's my intuition that tells me, bring this in. Hey, you heard this. I was telling her last night, I was in a meditation last night, and for whatever reason, this whole thing about Ho'oponopono, this process, this Ho'oponopono process that we learned, came to mind for a client in the middle of my meditation. And I mean, that's a signal to me that, all right, I need to pay attention to this. And then I was talking to Nicole today, I'm like, I want to make sure I remember the appropriate way to apply this, because I got a hit last night that says that this is going to be good for this guy. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff. Yeah, I love what I do.
I think what you're saying, Glenn, it can get a bit sort of overwhelming, can't it? Because, you know, and we've talked about this a million times before.
Yeah,
nobody absolutely ever goes and does one training and that's it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's unusual, the person that's gone, okay, I'm going to do one training and that's my lot and I'm happy with that. I mean, Debbie, that we were speaking to before,
yeah,
but she's got a whole load of other complementary therapies behind her. But, you know, I think the journey is you dip into a lot of different trainings. And I think what's happened, especially in my case, and I think with Anthony's case, we came across control with Tim. It made sense to us, and that's our base. And then from there, it's like, okay, this is my base. And right, then from there, I might bring in other things that I think are appropriate to that client in that moment.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah. That's the best way to put it. Because I mean, it's like, that's going to be my kind of, I call it my go-to sort of thing, just because it's so concise, it's finite, it's very clear, it's just simplified to the perfect degree, and so you can add complementary stuff to it easily and it just creates an amazing amount of success and empowerment in people. Because I'm a teacher, you know, people may call themselves a hypnotherapist or whatever it is, above more than anything, I'm a teacher. I give my clients skills, right? I want them to understand that, you know, the changes we make, yeah, they can become instantaneous. Yes, they can last a lifetime, but that doesn't mean that you get to go through life without being aware and without being conscious of your behavior and your responses and your responsibility towards making the right choices and being responsible for recognizing, hey, I'm feeling like I want to go the old way here. Now it's my conscious choice to decide I'm going to do A or B, right? And so, you know, giving them that responsibility, that empowerment, and saying this isn't a magic pill. There's still some human being here that needs to be involved in this, right? And I think that that's really important for us to really instill that into our clients. I'm not going to just pop you on the head and bam, you're all fixed. Because that's just not reality.
There's a responsibility there with the client. But it's cool you say you teach, because you probably teach most on bringing awareness to the client, right?
Yeah.
It's not teaching like, hey, maybe you should do that or think like that. It's more like the concepts that you are teaching, bringing them to awareness, like, you have to give them insights in how the brain works.
To teach them how to use the power of their mind instead of allowing their mind to live through them, right? Use the tool rather than be the tool. That's I have a class called Your Mind. Use the tool or be the tool. Because you know, we've got the option, and most of us haven't been taught that we have that option. We've been taught that we are our mind, we are our thoughts, we are this. And it's like, there's no, we don't, that's an option. That's an option. It is an option for you. I personally like it when the light's on, so I'll choose this other option.
Yeah.
So Glenn, are you still seeing clients then amongst everything else you're doing?
Well, at this time, it's very limited. It's actually, since Corona, at the time that I wanted to grow it, I decided to focus on the project. But I see, let's say, maybe one person a month or something. But these are mainly people that know me and say, like, hey, can't you really help me with that? And then, it's more like this. Yeah.
Right on.
So, as I said before, a question we like to ask all of our guests is a learning curve, you know, whether it's been with the summits or business-wise, or with a client, something that's sort of gone a bit eat, and you're like, oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't do that again that way next time.
Oh, well, what I think I'm a person who likes to control things. Hey, control. There we go. No, I so in order to do hypnosis, I really wanted to understand hypnosis. And I enrolled in so many trainings that it was hard for me to really go into depth on one certain technique. And I was doubtful, like, which technique should I use right now? But it taught me a lot. And the way I understand hypnosis right now is huge, if you look at it when I started. But it's very confusing if you want to help clients and to want to in the beginning, it's very confusing. So I would say less training courses and more exercise and more practicing. That would be like the imposter syndrome. In the beginning I said I need to understand this before I can help people. And so I would say make sure you know one or two techniques really well, experiment with them. And if you can work with people within a community, so you don't have to charge immediately, so you can actually build up some experience. And if you feel like, hey, I'm confident enough, just go with it. And don't wait 2 years before you start asking, searching for clients.
Absolutely.
So that's what I mean with the imposter syndrome. So you have to find a balance. But I think it's important just also to understand, don't charge your clients if you're not really experienced and know what you're actually doing.
And that's the, you know, 10,000 kicks once or one kick 10,000 times, right? Just become really good at one thing, and then you can start to look at other things, become good at that, and figure out what works for you.
And it doesn't have to take too much time.
Yeah.
In you can do four sessions a day during 1 week with people from a hypnosis community and say like, hey, I want to practice this kind of things. And in 1, 2, 3, in 1 month, you can do so much. So that's, that's what I would say.
Great bit of advice there. Excellent.
Yes.
Makes sense?
Yes.
It does. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm glad that we were, I'm glad that we waited to have this conversation. Because I told you that this conversation was supposed to happen a while back, but there was some technical difficulties or whatever that happened and we couldn't make it happen. And I had met Glenn, and Glenn and I had, for about 30 seconds, talked about moving forward. And then it's like, no, Nicole has to be here for this because it was a big deal, and I'm really glad. Totally different direction. I didn't know that you were such a data guy. I find that really fascinating, and I love that. That's so cool. I love what I get to learn about people. I've got an idea kind of in my head about a little bit about who someone is or what they're kind of into, and then when you get to sit down and talk to them, it's like, wow, there's some interesting things going on in that box.
I'm glad that you opened my box.
Well, Glenn, thank you so much for giving up your time to be here and talk with us. Yes. And we'd really love to have you on again in the future and hear how things are developing and going.
Absolutely.
It was amazing, and I'm sure it will be amazing again.
Right on. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.